I wondered why I couldn't hear myself. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. It's in the insert in your bulletin titled Our Reasonable Service from Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor and glory
one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, in prayer.
Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Mind not high things, but condescend to mean to men of low estate.
Be not high in your own conceit.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us join now in our song of worship, number 6, Holy Father, Great Creator.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, be with us as we worship and share communion today. And help us as we go through the rest of this day and into the week ahead. May our interactions with each other be filled with your love. Direct our words and actions, Lord, that others will see you in us. May we know the joy of living, working, and worshiping together in ways that bring blessings to you. We pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be in God's house with you this morning. And it occurs to me that if we were to count back to the beginning, the origins of this particular church, we're probably 7, 8, or 9 generations of believers that have filtered through and worshiped God in this very room. And I wonder if we could hear, just almost imperceptibly, all the sermons that have been preached in this room, if we could hear all the voices of the young people who have ever shouted for joy, talking to their parents, or all the different things that have happened in this room, it would be an amazing thing to chronicle. And we are here today to worship God in spirit and truth. And so we join our hearts together to that purpose. This morning, we look on the inside of our worship guide to the ministry opportunities, and we recognize that we are in the 60 days of prayer. There is an insert that is in the foyer, if you'll pick that up, if you have not already, and we'll be praying for our missionaries weekly for these 60 days. We also have the World Mission Offering that begins today. We'll be hearing about that from Pam in a couple of moments. A fellowship time after this service, and then we'll hear more about the crop walk from Larry. Look at the other opportunities throughout the week and in the coming weeks, including the quarterly business meeting on the 23rd of October. Larry, will you come and share more about the crop walk, please?
Okay, this afternoon's the crop walk. Starts at Ohio Wesleyan, registration's at 1:30, and then the walk is at 2 o'clock. And I'm assured by the weather people that it won't rain from 2 till 3 while we're walking. But I do have my hat. So, if you'd like to join us, that'd be great. If you'd like to make a contribution, I have the envelopes to deliver over there. Cash is wonderful. If you write a check, make it out to CWS, that's like Church World Service, /crop. And I'll be taking them over to the walk. Any questions? Anybody inspired to go? Okay, thank you.
I have two more announcements. First of all, Mary Lou did put a calendar in the gathering place. If you want to sign up to do something special with the pastor this month, it's there with the sign-up sheet, so don't miss that. Also, next Sunday evening is the Women's Conference Aspire at in Westerville. And if any women want to go and haven't seen me, I do have tickets. I have them with me. They're $20. And several of us are going, so if you want to ride with someone, just let me know. And see me after church. Last year, the theme for the World Mission Offering, if you remember, was salt. This year, the theme is water. And you were all offered a bottle of water this morning as you came in. As I share mission moments with you each week this month, you will notice that many of them tie in with this theme of water, especially living water. Even though the stories I will share with you are all about our missionaries in Europe, and especially Hungary, please remember that the World Mission Offering goes to aid Baptist missionaries all over the world. Nora and Peter Kaufman serve as coordinators for short-term mission, STM, short-term mission, with the European Baptist Federation. They facilitate life-changing mission experiences by matching the interests of volunteers with the needs of the 50-plus Baptist conventions in Europe and the Middle East. With only 2.5% evangelical Christians, Europe is a priority mission field. Nora and Peter travel extensively, roaming the front lines of ministry while identifying STM opportunities for groups and individuals to effectively multiply mission efforts. Peter has written the following. While I was speaking at a church recently, it struck me that Jesus referred to the house of God as a house of prayer for all nations. That made me wonder about all the many ethnic groups that are represented or living in the streets surrounding the church. What if the church would invite them for prayer or meet with them for coffee at the church to bathe them in the flow of God's living water? Later in that church service, the pastor mentioned how Nora and I had been instrumental in preparing a short-term mission trip at a children's camp in Belarus for him and a couple of churches. Belarus is one of the dozens of countries in which we have hosted volunteers over the years. In Ezekiel 47, we learn that from God's house, living water flows. And wherever it flows, life will flourish. Along the banks of this river of living water, trees will bear much fruit. This image beautifully describes what we have seen in the work of short-term volunteers in Europe. Though they may not see it during their brief stay in Europe, their ministry bears eternal fruit. You can aid the Kaufmans by giving to the World Mission Offering. Our goal is $700. Please consider prayerfully your contribution. Thank you.
Our psalm of praise is found in the blue hymnal, number 2018, Honor and Praise.
as you come out to this time of tithes and offerings, just a brief reminder that each month on the first Sunday of the month, Communion Sunday, the deacons accept a benevolence offering in addition to our regular offering to aid those in the community and within our congregation. But you can make a benevolence offering anytime. Thank you. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Dear Lord, bless these tithes and offerings. We bring them to your altar that they may sustain our congregation, that they may serve our community, that they may minister in mission, that they may further your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Old Testament reading is from Lamentations 1, verses 1 through 6. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. her maidens grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters, her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer.
We come to our time of prayer this morning, and I will write down the request that we have and our praises this morning as Larry brings the microphone to those who would like to share.
I'll be out of state next weekend celebrating my father's 80th birthday, and on Thursday, Aiden was inducted into the National Honor Society.
Fantastic.
We're joyful that this week Jared and Michelle celebrated 21 years of happy wedded bliss. And I'd also like to ask for prayer for two young men, one named Innocent, who is at 30 years old experiencing some heart problems and needing answers, is in local Grady Hospital and just can't, numerous conditions and tests and really not any answers as of yet, so that there will be, with God's intervention, some peace there. And then for Steve, a friend of ours from Michigan, who has had two small TIAs, strokes, and is not much younger than we are, so prayers for healing for Steve.
If we'll consider the back of the worship guide, there are many who we've had on our list for several weeks. These are updated routinely, and I'm reminded that we are to pray for our country, its leaders, and those who serve. Did I get that right, Brennan? All right. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather our hearts together this morning, believers looking to you for something special, we consider the request that we've heard this morning. And we have faith that you intervene in unusual ways to affect situations for the good. So, Lord, where there are health concerns, we ask for your healing touch. When there are those that need to hear your word, we pray for a voice. And, Lord, when our hearts need to be comforted, we pray that you would give us respite of soul. Help us to seek you in all times, both good and what we would call the bad as well. Lord, I thank you for this church, and we thank you for all of those who serve here, for those that lead our state and our nation and our world leaders. We pray for our guidance as well as our missionaries. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. We're going to be so grateful when Mark comes back next week. Our next hymn is number 2196, also found in the blue hymnal, We Walk by Faith. Thank you.
Our New Testament reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle for Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, and has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard which I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thank you.
Our sermon text this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 17, starting in verse 5. These words: "The apostle said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' The Lord replied, 'If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, "Come here at once and take your place at the table"? Would you not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink"? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, "We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done." Let us pray. Lord, this morning we pray that the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Help us to hear your word and to apply it to our lives. I pray this through Jesus' name. Amen. We lost a great saint this week. One of my hospice clients, her name was Eileen Welsh. Her service was yesterday, and I asked her family permission to share part of her story as an encouragement to you. She had a very rare disease called progressive supranuclear ophthalmoplegia. Try saying that about three times. So it left her body more or less paralyzed to the point where her speech was barely inaudible. And if you ask a question, it would take her some time to formulate an answer and even longer to be able to reply. Sometimes she would wait for 3 to 5 minutes before she was able to offer a reply. And it started out, as I was visiting her, that she could respond quicker, and then as the months went along, more slow and more slowly. And this week her daughter had one of the nurses call, because the nurse was there continually providing medications for comfort. She was within the last couple of hours of her life, and the daughter said, "We'd like you to come back and sing her favorite song. Do you remember what her favorite song was?" And I said, "Of course, I'll come back and sing her favorite song." And so when I came into the room, Christy told me she's a little bit afraid. I asked her if she was afraid, and she responded yes by squeezing my hands. And she's sleeping right now, but I know that if you sang her favorite song, she would wake up and you could have a conversation. And so I went to where her bed was there, the hospital bed in the living room, and I sat down and I said, "Eileen, it's Chaplain Mike," and she woke up. And we held hands, and she was able to tell me yes or no through the squeezing of the hand. I asked if she was afraid, and she said she was. And so I reminded her of a scripture that we had shared before, and I want to share this with you as well, because it's a really good way of understanding God's goodness. At a time when Jesus' disciples were worried because he was saying that he was going away, he provided these words to them, and by extension we can hear them today to remind us that God is faithful. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, so where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way to where I'm going." And Eileen smiles, because she remembered when I had shared those verses earlier, I taught that in the old days, a new family would always have a room built onto the father's house. In fact, the young man would go and see a young lady, and he would go back to his father and say, I think I found the one, and an arrangement would be made. The woman would need to give consent that at the moment that the engagement started, the groom's father would say, you go back and finish the room. And everyone knew what that meant. The young man was to add on to the father's house. And he wasn't allowed to go back even to visit until the room was ready. But when the father said, it is finished, the room is ready, you can go, he would take his friends and blow trumpets at twilight, and a wedding festival would start, and at a certain point, that young couple would go to the room prepared for them. And so Jesus is using wedding lingo, is he not? When he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And we can even add the word forever, right? God always keeps his promises. And then I asked her if I could sing her favorite song, and she squeezed my hand. And this is what I sang. You can join me if you'd like. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You see, Eileen, she was a woman of great faith, but she just needed a little bit of help to cross over with peace. I asked her, Eileen, I said, are you worried now? And she didn't squeeze my hand. And I said, if you're confident, will you say yes? And she squeezed my hand. She died just later that night. It was a beautiful experience for her and her family. And it reminded me that faith comes in different measures at different times. And we sometimes wonder, will our faith measure up? Especially as we think about final things, like crossing over to be with God. And so I want to take a look at these verses that we read in context, starting in verse 1 of chapter 17. If I could just read a couple of verses prior to where we read earlier. Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come. Have you experienced that in your faith walk? I mean, we stumble, do we not? Am I sharing something unusual to our experience? It's okay to stumble. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, Jesus says. But woe to anyone by whom they come. Jesus seems to be saying the reality is not everything's going to be perfect. But don't be in the system of causing people to fall repeatedly and repeatedly. Don't be in the system of evil. For it would be better if a millstone was around the neck of one of those and that person thrown into the sea rather than that person causing someone to stumble. Jesus continues, be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive. So, Jesus seems to be saying to us, you're going to stumble. But as you stumble and as those stumble, be in a pattern of forgiveness. Don't cause other people to stumble. This is how we live life. And disciples, they take an opportunity here. They hear this hard teaching of these 7 times the forgiving. And can you imagine? It's frustrating for us when someone offends us once. let alone twice or three times or four, seven times a day. Jesus puts it out there for us, right? I mean, how annoying would it be if someone came to us and offended us at 7 in the morning and then came back at 10 in the morning and, you know, just on and on and on throughout the day? It would be totally annoying. And by the end of the day, we'd be worn out, would we not? And yet Jesus says that same heart for restoration and reconciliation at the end of the day should be the same if someone's just to transgress once. Jesus' disciples, seeing that this is a hard teaching, kind of take advantage of the opportunity. They say, increase our faith. And I want you to hear this as the Greek provides this. If we were to go back, we would see that it's an aorist imperative. This is like the prodigal son demanding of the benevolent father, give me my share of the inheritance. This is more like a command. Give it to us all at once, Jesus. Increase our faith. Because it's a hard teaching. And they want to have all of the resources available to them. Jesus, disciples remind us, that Jesus' disciples' demand indicates a misunderstanding of what faith is. I'll say that again. Jesus' disciples' demand indicates a misunderstanding of what faith is. I think we can find that true looking back at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. I'll read these words, but they're familiar. You don't have to turn there. It's the story of Jesus walking on the water. Do you remember the story? And it's a story of faith and what Jesus says to Peter. Listen to these words. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by that time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. And when he noticed the strong winds, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those on the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." How many times have we heard that story? More than 50 times probably in our lifetime. And when we look at it with Jesus' words, if we were to view those words as chiding Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" we would be thinking just about every time we'd heard the story, we would hear those words from Jesus as a chide. But take a look at the whole picture. Jesus commanded Peter to come out. Peter stepped out onto the water. He began to be frightened, so he began to sink. Jesus restores him, and he says, "You of little faith." Can we hear that differently? Can we hear Jesus to say, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" as in, "You of enough faith to step out on that water, to move out of the comfort zone into a trust relationship with me. You with enough to do that, why did you end up doubting?" So rather than a chide, beginning to see how this passage works very similarly to the passage that we see in Luke, where Jesus talks about the size of faith necessary for something amazing to happen. Where Jesus replies, if you had the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, uproot and be planted into the water. Which resembles Jeremiah 1, where Jeremiah is told of his call in these words. Verse 10 of Jeremiah, see, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overflow, to build up and to plant. So the disciples are asking for all of the faith available. Give it to us all at once. Jesus indicates you already have enough. You really don't need any more. Even with the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could have faith like the prophets of old. You could be in that same stream of confidence that God gave to Jeremiah. See faith differently. Don't misunderstand. See faith for what it really is. How many times is spiritual growth stifled because we view faith as something so far beyond ourselves when it's actually right here with us now? When we imagine looking at someone else's experience saying, oh, that person has so much more faith than I have, there's no way I could possibly do, and fill in the blank. When Jesus is saying to his disciples, and by extension to us, if we had the smallest measure of faith, amazing things can happen. Faith is doing what you know to do and everything for the glory of God. So I have a personal experience from my past, and I've gone back and forth on whether to share it at this point in the sermon, but I kind of decided that I would. I don't want you to hear this story as me being the hero of my own story. That's the risk, and that's why I have considered different things to share to illustrate this point. But it's the best illustration I can come up with. So, several years ago, I was pastoring a small church just north of here in another town, and there was a man in the congregation that needed a kidney. And he asked me, because he had a donor lined up, whether or not I was the kind of pastor that would visit in the hospital when he had these surgeries that were upcoming. He was worried about those. He wanted someone to pray. And I said, well, you know, I'm the kind of pastor that visits in the hospital, sure. And so he began to come to the church, and he joined the church. And time went on, and the donor backed out. And so he asked if our congregation would be tested to see if anyone in the congregation might be a donor. And so I said, yeah, we'll make an announcement. And so Kathy and I had a conversation, and I said to her, you know, I think I need to be tested because it doesn't do to make an announcement about something if you're not willing to participate yourself. And I was tested, and she was tested. And it might be that we were the only two tested in the entire congregation. I'm not sure how many were actually tested. But it came back, the result, saying that there was a perfect match and that I was the perfect match. And so Mike Orhood and I went through a process of going through all kinds of different tests, and there were blood tests, and there were psychological exams that was very hard for me to pass. I had to go through a CT scan, just all kinds of different compatibility tests, and discovered that, in fact, I was healthy enough to be able to participate. And so the surgery was scheduled, and the donation took place. And it was a wonderful experience for both he and I. And he existed for 13 years on that borrowed kidney, which is quite the miracle, I believe. The problem with that story is that as it was happening, And even as I'm telling it today, most of us hear it with a glamorized view of what happens when someone walks through a door of opportunity. As in, that must have taken an extreme amount of faith to do something like that. What we do is we tend to measure our own experience juxtaposed with someone else's experience, and we come to a conclusion, I couldn't do that. When the reality is really quite the opposite. Because as I think about that story, and as I'm reflecting on the experience, it was really no big deal. It was simply something that we walked through. It was really no different than Peter stepping out into the unknown out of that boat. It didn't take a lot of faith. It just took a measure of faith activated in that moment. Jesus is telling his disciples here, it doesn't take much faith to be prophetic, like the prophets of old, saying to a tree, be uprooted, and to plant things. It just takes the action of a believer walking through those opportunities. The example he gives is problematic for us today, is it not? Because he's talking about slavery, and we think of American slavery in that context. But I want you to know, in Jesus' day, up to 80% of the people who lived were slaves. Did you realize that? That you could have been a physician, you could have been an attorney, you could have been an accountant, or you could have been a worker in a field. All slaves, working for someone else. It was not unusual. But the whole system was different in Jesus' day. And so the hearers of this example that Jesus gives would have heard it quite well. Someone who is responsible to the needs of others, they just do what they know to do. It is no big deal. It's no big thing. It's just doing what's right. Ben Hogan, the famous golfer, called a penalty on himself once, and the media came to him and said, oh my goodness, that's the most amazing thing. You called a penalty on yourself. And he said, you might as well thank me for not robbing a bank. To him, it was no big deal to do what was right. I don't want you to think about faith like a vast ocean. I think that's what the disciples were thinking of faith like. It's something, this great repository. And if we just had access to all of it, then everything would be so easy. When actually faith is more like a faucet. And God gives us the measure of what we need as we need it. And when we know what to do, and we walk through those opportunities, we are activating the faith that we have for the glory of God. A couple of weeks ago, there was another hospice client. I love my work because I get to observe these great examples of faith. She was at Ohio State, and I came to her room on a Monday, and we had a conversation. She shared about her family. All were believers. And she was a great mother and a great church member, and she shared with me, I'm ready to go. Just pray that God will take me home soon. Which, when you hear a prayer like that, it's just amazing to hear. And so Tuesday, she was no longer speaking, comfortable, but asleep. Wednesday, Thursday, I visited every day. Large family, 15 people in the room at any given time. And on Friday when I visited, she was very much the same from what I was seeing. The nurses were saying that her respirations were a little less. I could barely tell that. Her blood pressure was falling a little bit, but she looked very much the same. And I was concerned. I was concerned that the family thought that she might die that day, when I thought, by looking, that she was going to make it through the weekend. Maybe I would be able to visit on Monday. And so I said to her husband, I said, I don't know. If she does linger through the weekend, don't be disturbed. Just count it as more time. And so I left, in my infinite hospice wisdom, went back to my little cubicle and was typing on my computer. And the nurse said, "Chaplain, you need to come right back. She's taking her last breath." I said, "Really?" And so I walked back into the room, and she was, in fact, taking her last breath. And I watched as one of her daughters stood up and went to her bedside. And she started to sing. And as soon as she started to sing, everyone in the room except for me started to sing. I just stood back and observed. And they sang, "How Great Thou Art." The first verse, the second verse, the third verse. And when they got to the fourth verse, when they got to the chorus, when they got to the last word of the last chorus of the last verse, she took her last breath. Later on, I was in the hallway, and her daughter, the one that had started the singing, came out, and she said, "I'm wondering if you're wondering about that song." And I said, "I'm wondering about that song. What was that all about?" And she said, "That's the song that Mom always wanted us to sing whenever we got together. If we got together on Thanksgiving, or if we got together on Christmas, if we got together at the 4th of July, she would want us to sing 'How Great Thou Art.'" I don't have permission to use this woman's name, so I will call her Ginger Rogers, because she danced the faith like Ginger Rogers danced with Fred Astaire. She went out of this world and into the world to come by faith, very much how she lived. And that is Jesus' witness to us this morning. It doesn't take a superhero power to be a man or a woman of faith. It just takes the measure of what God has given, and just a little bit can move this whole world for the cause of Christ. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Don't imagine that faith is beyond our grasp. Understand what it is. It is God's advantage for us. The opportunity to activate our spiritual life in the present with the gifts that He has given in the moment. We serve a wonderful God. Let us pray. Lord, this morning as we consider our faith, Lord, help us in our time of need to access what You give, so that miraculous things can be done according to Your purposes and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is hymn number 211, "Bread of the World." If you'll turn in your hymnal to 211 and stand as we sing. If you'll be seated, we are entering into our celebration of the Lord's Supper. Let us take a few moments to be silent and to offer private reflection before we share this together. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be able to celebrate with you and to share in this glorious meal. Lord, you gave it to us as a remembrance, Lord, as an encouragement for this day. And so, Lord, we take it with gratitude. And Lord, with remembrance, we pray through Jesus' name. Amen. In the Passover meal, at a certain point, bread is broken and placed into a tri-fold folded napkin and hidden. It's called the Antikomen, and at a certain point, the children are to find that tri-fold broken bread, which represents our Lord, who was discovered 3 days after his death. Jesus took the bread, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat, do this in remembrance of me."
take the cup, the one that Jesus used, the one that we're remembering today, that cup is called the cup of redemption. Nothing is lost in the symbols are there. And so we take this cup as Jesus gave up. He said, this is the blood of the covenant shed for you. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me. Scripture says that they left that meal, they left with song, and we carry that tradition forward by encircling the sanctuary, starting in the middle aisle and to this side, together holding hands, and singing, Bless Be the Tide of Life.
You have all that you need. Be encouraged. God gives good gifts.